Welcome to another episode. Thanks a lot for checking in. Great that you're here. Today, for today's episode, I'm talking with Veerle Belen da Costa David. And Veerle is the founder and CEO of Unpack by Veer. She's a certified travel and life coach, specialized in working with expats and digital nomads. She helps her clients to, for example, reinvent themselves and find home within there, wherever they are in the world. In this episode, you will hear all about how Veerle changed her life 180 degrees after losing her job as a corporate immigration lawyer. She was based in Australia, and with losing her job, she also lost her visa that allowed her to stay in Australia. So there she was. There was nothing else to do than to move back from Australia to her country of origin, the Netherlands, together with back then her fiance, and she started following and living her dream to run her own business. With Unpack by Veer, she helps expat and digital nomads on their expat journeys, because no one's journey is the same. I hope you will enjoy the episode, and I would love to hear what you think afterwards. Curious where to find me or where to go with your feedback? In the show notes, you will find where and how to connect with me. Enjoy. Very warm welcome, Veerle.
Thank you.
I'm super happy to have you here. I am really excited for our conversation. Because you, Dutch from origin, you lived in Spain and Australia, and you shifted your career as a corporate immigration lawyer to become a travel and life coach, currently back in your home country, the Netherlands, where you run your business Unpack by Veer. And as a certified travel and life coach, you help expat digital nomads to reinvent themselves and create their dream life abroad. I am beyond excited to hear all about your story, and I want to wish you a very warm welcome in the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. My pleasure. I'm very happy to be here.
Really nice. How are you doing? How are you and where are you?
I'm very good, and I'm currently in Rotterdam. I'm living in an apartment on the 9th floor, and if I look to my left, there's a big window and I have a view over the port of Rotterdam. Which is pretty nice. Today's a bit of a stormy day, so I'm glad that I'm just working from home and in my apartment, which is usually my workplace as well. And I'm just very excited for this year. I have lots of exciting things coming up. So I'm doing very well. Thanks.
No, good. I'm happy to hear that. And what exciting things are coming up?
So I'm still in the process, so I can't share too much about it yet. I'm still like in the brainstorming phase of a few new projects that I'm working on for my business, but it's all related to some new services that I want to offer for expats and for companies. So once I can share more about it, once it's clear, I will let you know.
Such a cliffhanger, but I will respect your cliffhanger. No issues. You help expats and digital nomads to reinvent themselves and to, in a way, maybe also redefine what home is. And at a certain point in life, you yourself realized that living in different countries was not always a walk in the park. True. You describe it as an exciting adventure, but also with challenges that you found yourself hard to prepare for. Can you share a little bit about that? When was it that you realized that it was not a walk in the park?
So I've lived in different places. Like my first time moving abroad was to Barcelona in Spain. And at that time I was 20 and the world was like an oyster, you know, like I was ready for the adventure. So at that time, I didn't really think about any challenges. I think for me, the biggest challenge was to actually moved to a country where I didn't speak the language at all. And that was one of my goals, to learn Spanish, but I literally didn't speak any word of Spanish when I moved there. So that was definitely quite a shock, but it also helped me to learn quickly, because I didn't have another choice, basically. Like my housemates didn't even speak English. I went there for my studies and all my classes were in Spanish, so I literally had no idea.
You were forced.
Exactly. When I moved to Australia, it was a completely different experience, also in terms of the challenges. I moved there for work. I was working in corporate as an immigration lawyer, and I was assigned to move to Australia, to Sydney for 6 months, and then go back to my job in the Netherlands. That turned out a bit differently. I eventually stayed there for 3 years. But in the beginning, especially, there were a lot of challenges, and that was mostly related to finding a balance between working in this very demanding corporate environment, like working long hours. But on the other hand, I was like, well, I'm now in Australia on the other side of the world. I want to experience this and see as much as I can. So I was working super hard, and then in the weekends exploring, doing everything I could. And there was not really a work-life balance, so to say. I was just exhausted on all fronts in life. So after a few months, I was like, you know what, I have to find another way, because this is not sustainable. And I want to make the most out of this time abroad, but it has to be in another way. So those were a few of the challenges that come up, like, you know, different countries, different challenges. But I must say the biggest challenge for me was moving back to the Netherlands. And that was definitely completely something I didn't expect. It was also because of the way I left Australia. It was in the middle of the pandemic. I had lost my job and my visa, and it was all super unexpected. Within a few weeks, I had to pack my bags and leave everything behind. Luckily, my husband could move with me. At that time, he was still my fiance, and we could move together. So that was good, but the rest was just a big shock. And I especially didn't expect that moving back home, so to say, would be such a big challenge, because I was like, well, you know, I've moved to Spain before. I've also lived in Cambodia for a few months, you know, and then Australia. So I had different experiences, and I was like, well, moving to a country that I know so well, it's going to be pretty easy, even though I was unemployed and it was the pandemic, all of those things that didn't really help. But I was like, yeah, you know, I know what to expect in terms of living in the Netherlands. But that was like completely different. I felt so lost and confused. And I was like, well, this is my home country, but I don't feel at home at all. I felt more like a tourist instead of a local. And I felt super disconnected with everyone around. I was like, well, you know, of course my family and friends were happy to see me, but I felt like they just sometimes, yeah, maybe couldn't understand what I was going through, because they were like, oh, so happy to have you back here, and you know, how are things? And I was just not in the right mood, you know, just still processing the things that I felt that I had lost. So that took a few months until I realized, you know, I'm done with being in this victim mode. Yes, there are a lot of things that I've lost, like, you know, my apartment, my job, visa, like the whole life that I was building in Australia. But feeling sorry for myself is not going to help. So that's actually when I really listened to myself and to a dream that I had for years to start my own business. And I was like, you know what, I don't have any excuse anymore. When you have to start over, then, you know, there's no reason not to go for it and give it a try, because I felt like I have nothing to lose, basically. And because of all those challenges, it got me thinking like, okay, but what do I really want to do then? And I loved my previous work with expats, helping them with their visas, but I always felt like I would love to have a bit of a more of a personal connection with them, because that was more like, you know, the legal advice, the paperwork, guiding them through that process, but not really personally, right? And I always noticed that many people were very stressed, and yeah, it's just a lot. And I completely understood that there's so much going on when you move somewhere new. So that's when I realized, what if I could actually help people more on that part of you know, the mental and emotional part of moving abroad, because that was actually the part that I never found any support in my own expat journeys, but also in working in the corporate expat world. I saw there was a lot of support for, you know, like the visas and the shipment of your stuff, finding a house, your taxes, name it, like all the practical stuff. You can find a company to help you with that. You don't have even have to think about it if you don't want to. But this emotional part is something that you have to do yourself. That's really, yeah, no one else can do that for you. It's not like someone else can make you feel better, right? You're like, you have to do it yourself.
No, it's you have to put the work in, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I found this passion to actually guide people through that, because of my own challenges and because I felt this gap for myself, that I was often like, oh, I wish there was someone who could just understand what I'm going through and help me find a way through this instead of figuring it out by myself. And the biggest thing that I found in that was my own journey of finding home within myself. So that was kind of like the base that I found through all my personal development and my coaching certification programs and everything I was learning about how can you grow and how can you deal with challenges. That was kind of like the foundation. And that's one of the things I focus on now as well, through my own journey of, okay, what is home to me? What does it even mean? How can I find it? And how can I help other people with that as well?
And if you look at, you know, the Veerle from, let's say, before Australia and after, do you think home got a different meaning to you?
It does, yes. When I moved to Australia, I was very much in my mind. I was really in the corporate world, working hard and just very much focused on my career, and everything else was on the side. You know, I had my hobbies and I did a lot of things, but work was kind of like one of my priorities. And that has shifted afterwards when I dove more into my personal development. And I was like, okay, but who am I outside of work? But also when you move somewhere new and you see all those new experiences and you come across like different cultures, you meet a lot of people and you hear their stories, you're like, okay, but who am I beyond this work? And beyond the country that I was used to, you know, in all these unfamiliar situations, who is this Veerle? So that's really how I explored, like, okay, who am I right now? Who do I want to be? And it really helped me to find that home. And it's much more, it's not just your mind, like it's all related, like your body, your spirit, like emotionally, mentally, it's a combination of everything. So for me, those years in Australia were really a discovery. Besides that, what I said before, I met my husband there. So that's also like, you know, a big life change. We got married last year in the Netherlands.
But oh, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. But everything started in Sydney in Australia. So that always is a special place for me because of that as well. So a lot of changes in a pretty short time.
Definitely. And also looking back at it, it brought you a lot, even though that you went through that pain, you experienced certain, let's call it frustration, but in the end, it potentially became your light or your fire in order to move on and to persuade that long lasting dream to become an entrepreneur.
True. Yeah. Now, you know, when you look back, it's like, okay, I'm sure I had to go through all those challenges also to understand what it is, because I feel like if my expat life would have been just completely easy, I wouldn't even thought about helping others with that. Maybe I had found something else to do, but you know, this is what I'm like really passionate about. So I'm grateful that I had those experiences, and also not just to be able to help others with it, but also just to see how much I've grown. Because yeah, just getting to know myself better, but also becoming more confident and really thinking about, okay, what is the life that I want to live and what is the path that I want to follow beyond everything that I see around me, or you know, beyond the job that I have and all of that, really questioning every category in my life, basically, and thinking about, okay, what is actually the life that I want to have?
Beautiful. I can really relate when I heard you say that, you know, you were focused a lot on career and you moved for your, at that time, employer to Australia, and being very dedicated. It's something that I personally can relate a lot, where basically when you are an expat moving for work, you know, personal and professional life become very woven. And, mm-hmm. you know, your friends maybe are your colleagues. And when you have health related issues, you have to go to your employer to seek for help. And I agree with you. There's a lot of practical help out there. But when it comes to, let's say, your well-being or struggles with living abroad, the support is very limited. So I think what you do is very, very, very beautiful for many people, very helpful as well.
Yeah, and those are things you also don't really want to go to your employer for, right?
No, like, definitely.
Yeah, so it's also sort of like a complicated thing if you are dealing with those challenges. It's not like, oh, hey, boss, can you, you know, refer me to someone to help me with this?
It's yes.
Not, yeah, it's that. It usually doesn't work like that.
No, definitely. No, that you can say after the quarterly review where we will discuss my performances, can I please have a moment on my own to cry my eyes out, right? Basically, that's not what you want, or that's genuinely not the expat mindset. No, I agree on that.
Yeah.
And I talk to a lot of expats in my work, and one thing that, regardless of cultural background, regardless of the country that they are assigned to or moved to, whether if it's for work or for love, is, you know, the bureaucratic processes and the challenges that everyone feels with the bureaucracy across the globe when it comes to visas. So, and then here we have you that dealt with the most bureaucratic processes of an expat, probably, which is visa related, being Dutch in another culture. How has that been? How was that?
So, I mean, I guess I have a different perspective because it used to be my work. So I would be, you know, arranging visas all day. So for me, it wouldn't feel like, oh, it's so overwhelming, because I would just have this perspective like, okay, this is where you want to go. These are the documents you need. This is how you get those, and then send them to me and I will arrange your visa, type of thing, just very simply said. So that's kind of how I feel like I still approach whenever I need a visa for myself. I'm like, okay, this is what I need. How am I going to get that? Like, you know, very practical. But what I've seen with working with people is that it is actually very stressful, because there's a part of it that you have to give the control to someone else who arranges that for you, but also the control of, okay, when are the immigration authorities actually going to decide on my application? And that insecurity, I think, yeah, everyone can relate to that, and me as well. When, you know, someone applied for a visa for me when I moved to Australia, I didn't do that process myself. I gave someone else my documents, you know. So then, like, the insecurity, or just, yeah, sort of an anxiety or stress that you feel like, oh, okay, I hope I get an answer soon, and what's going to happen, and for how long do I get this visa? And I think that's the part that really provides the most stress, that you don't know when you're going to get the answer, and also, yeah, what's going to happen once you get an answer. And because the visa is one of the most important things that you need when you move somewhere. I mean, in terms of papers, maybe even the most important besides your passport, because otherwise you can't.
There's no start. No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No. Nothing is going to happen. So I think that's where the pressure comes in, that you're like, okay, I have to be patient. I have to trust that someone else will take care of this and knows what he or she's doing. And hopefully then the authorities agree with this as well, and everything will go smoothly. And it can be quite a lengthy process with a lot of documents you need. So I completely understand when people get stressed about it.
Yeah. also what I kind of hear, or what resonates with me when I hear you say this, is also very often I see that when people are trying to really understand the process or trying to understand the logic behind it, or maybe even experiencing resistance towards, you know, but why do they need my birth certificate, or why is it that they need paper X, Y, Z? Basically, that's when the frustration starts. So it's probably your advice would be just lean in, accept and enjoy the ride, and trust on the fact that things will work out.
Yeah, especially if they ask you for a certain certificate, there's no way you cannot provide it, right? So you can get frustrated about it, or you can say like, okay, I need to arrange this document.
How
am I going to do this and make sure I get it?
Yeah.
I guess with that mindset, you make the process a bit easier for yourself, because the documents that you need to send somewhere are not going to change. So you might as well, you know, try to just make it easier and get whatever you need instead of being frustrated about everything. But of course, you know, sometimes things can take a long time and you're waiting for an answer from this authority and that one. And so I get that that can be frustrated, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I remember that when I moved to Chile, other than a visa application, I needed to get a Chilean driver license. And in order to get my Chilean driver license, I needed to show that I had some sort of mathematics in school. And so then I said, okay, well, I have a bachelor degree where I had management and economics, and, you know, and then they said, no, but it needs to be mathematics. So I handed in my high school diploma that literally stated mathematics. And then that was enough in order to get my Chilean driver license. And I remember thinking, like, why is this going to add any value to me becoming a better driver, that I, the fact that I had mathematics in high school? But it is what it is. It is what it is.
Exactly. Sometimes it helps to not even think about the logic.
Try not to understand. Exactly.
Yeah. Because then it's like, okay, I have no idea. I have those examples as well. Even in the Netherlands, when I moved here with my husband, like just getting him registered, it took 5 months. And I was like, what's going on? You know, I thought I knew the system, but it was just all the bureaucracy and like all those papers, and that didn't make sense. And it was like, okay, just breathe in, breathe out, you know, calm down. Eventually this is going to work and it's going to happen. But yeah, sometimes what I said, like, you really need you shouldn't ask too many questions of like why, and just lean into it and hope for the best, basically.
Is this something that you help your current customers or your current clients with as well? Or what are the type of challenges that they come to you with?
Yeah, there are like a variety of challenges. So this could be one, like guiding them through the process of even moving abroad, like before they have left. What I also see a lot is people who have moved already and who are living abroad and are like, okay, now what, basically? Because usually many people are really focused on getting somewhere, like, you know, getting your visa, your passport and whatever you need, arranging everything. But then once you move somewhere new, you're like, okay, I want to make the most out of this new experience, but how am I going to do this? And what do I actually want? And for example, what I spoke about before, that I had this struggle with my work and also exploring and the city and meeting new people. A lot of expats have the same, especially when you move for work, or even if you're moving and you're searching for a new job, to really think about, okay, but what is the life that I want to lead here and beyond this job, but also what are the, like, who are the people that I want to meet? What are the things that I want to do? It's basically really setting up a new lifestyle. And of course you can do new things. You can do things that are familiar to you, but it's all in an unfamiliar environment. So even just random things like going to the supermarkets can already be an adventure in the beginning. You just have to think about so many things that you used to do almost on autopilot, and now they're not so automatic anymore. So what I'm also doing with a lot of clients is really helping them to redefine, like, okay, what is the life that I want to live here? Like, what does this look like? What is my lifestyle? How does my job and my private life fit together? Who are the people I want to meet? And really also going on a deeper level, like, okay, who is actually the person that I want to become here? Like, how can I make the most out of this journey? And so it's really looking at someone's personal growth, but also this new lifestyle. It's a combination of all of those things. And then, of course, you have the typical challenges that come with moving abroad, like the culture shock, or homesickness, loneliness, like all of those things that can come up when you leave everything that you know behind and start. I mean, I don't want to say start over, because, you know, your life goes on and it's in some way a sort of a reset, but you're still taking yourself with you. And it's really going from there and defining, like, okay, who am I in this new place? So there are a lot of things. And for everyone, it's a very unique experience. So I never have like a one size fits all approach. It's really customized, like, okay, what do you need the most in this moment? How can we move you from the place where you're at right now to something else? Like, where does it feel stuck? What's going on? So a lot of things, but that's also what it makes it so beautiful. That's really why I enjoy it, because everyone is so different. Everyone's journey is different. How you also overcome certain challenges, like some people are, for some people it's very easy to connect with others and they don't have any challenge on that front. They are just like, okay, in 1 week I already made so many friends. For other people, that's actually a challenge. Like, okay, I feel like I don't really belong here, or I feel just disconnected. How am I going to meet people that I can relate to, or make new friendships? So it really depends on the person, what they need the most help with. But that's what makes it beautiful as well.
And you work with people from all different type of cultural backgrounds. I also heard you say some customers I help with the culture shock. How does someone's cultural background, or maybe the culture that they're moving to, play a part in your work?
So it plays a part, I would say, in some way it doesn't, in some way it doesn't. It doesn't the way that someone can have those challenges of like moving to a culture that is completely different to what they're used to, and having those challenges with, okay, how am I going to adapt to this, or how am I going to find my own way? Are there things that I want to take on, or do I need to know things to have an easier experience here? So that is one thing that I could guide people in, like, okay, what makes you feel like, you know, that you don't fit in here, or what's going on? On the other hand, it doesn't play a role in a sense that as a coach, I'm like as neutral as I can be. So I'm not making any assumptions, like, okay, based on your culture, maybe you look at things like this, because besides culture, you also have your own personality. You know, it's not like the culture defines everything you do. And sometimes it's even that someone wants to step out of that familiarity that they used to have in the culture that they came from, and really think about, okay, who am I actually beyond this culture? Are there things that actually were limiting me and that I want to let go? Or are there things from my culture that really brought me joy and that I want to continue in my life abroad? So, you know, culture can have different aspects in that sense. Sometimes it's also, for example, if I coach a Dutch expat, they like to share their experiences with me. And of course, then I can relate to it and, you know, like share, like when they ask me, like, oh, was this your experience as well? Or sometimes people like to kind of like find that connection. But on the other hand, it's also it doesn't really matter what I think, because it's not about me in the coaching session. It's really about helping someone else find their own answers and guiding them. So in that sense, I would say culture is not relevant at all, because it's really about that person. But it's more relevant for the challenges, or to figure out when someone feels like, okay, actually this limits me, or this is actually something that I really enjoy from my culture that I miss right now. How can I introduce that in my life here where the culture is so different? So it's a very interesting aspect.
Definitely. And do you think, and this is an open question, do you believe that culture might give a sense of belonging or sense of community, for example?
I do think so, yes. I don't think it's the only thing. And I also think it really depends on what your experience is with a certain culture. Like if you grew up in a culture, for example, in which you feel like it doesn't really align with your beliefs or your values, and it feels like it has been limiting you, then I would say, you know, like, what's the added value of that culture? Maybe it's time for you to break out of some of those systems or frameworks that you grew up in and find your own path. But on the other hand, if you look at the positive things that a culture can bring, that can actually help you to feel more connected to this group of this culture, basically, right? Like, okay, what are the things that we have in common? And for example, a certain like music or food, or, you know, all those things that are part of culture that actually can help you to feel this sense of belonging. So in that way, I would say, yes, if it really expands you, then it can be helpful actually to find that belonging.
How is it for you to help expats coming to the Netherlands and to hear maybe those expats complain, within brackets, about, let's say, the Dutch culture?
Yeah, it's interesting, because often I can actually relate to them, because I feel like, having lived in different places, I'm also not, I have a different view about Dutch culture than I think someone who probably has never left the Netherlands. So I look at it from a different perspective as well. So then sometimes when someone shares something with me, it's like, actually, I feel the same way, even though I'm Dutch. Like, I know what you mean. Just to give you like a practical example is the culture of like planning ahead. That's really ingrained in, I see you laughing. It's really ingrained in Dutch culture. And it's something that really doesn't work for me. Like it's actually, I can plan ahead like a week or two in advance. That's not a problem, but months in advance for social, social meetups, I just can't do it. I like the spontaneity, and that's just how I like to live my life, right? And I noticed that expats moving to the Netherlands notice this as well, because many other countries in the world don't have this strict planning culture, so to say, that many Dutch people have. And of course, when you talk about these things, it's a bit stereotype, right? It's not like everyone is like that, but it is quite typical, I can say it like that. So I think it's always funny when someone shares that with me and I'm like, yeah, you have a point. I know what you mean. Yeah.
You recognize the pain, so to say. Yeah. I love that you say it's a bit stereotyping. And I always say in my work, you know, I'm trying to stay away from stereotypes, because actually those make it more risky, because you know, I book the best results with my customers when they're super open-minded, and we start with, let's say, your own cultural profile, your personal preference when we look at communicating or giving feedback, or how you prefer to come to decisions, whether we, you know, you prefer that everyone agrees or you're very comfortable with top-down decisions. But there's one thing about the Dutch culture that your personal preference and the culture could really, really difference, which is the reference to time. And indeed, the Dutch reference to time is super linear, meaning things or activities happen in a chronological order, planned ahead, very in a linear approach. And it's one of the most linear time-based countries in the world. Not the most, though, but one of the most, meaning that every expat from abroad will experience or will perceive the Dutch as extremely stubborn when it comes to time. And this is what it is. And indeed, this case, really, your personal preference in your private life is different, but maybe in your personal life, you're very Dutch when it comes to this. I am. I like to make...
In work life, you mean?
Yeah, in your professional life, pardon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also prefer to have my work planned in a chronological order or like in a retro planning. What is the goal and what steps do I need to take to get there? But in my personal life, I can really relate to your preference also.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? That you can also take those things from a culture into different areas of your life. Like, you know, this works for me in the workplace, but in my personal life, I do it in a different way. I think that's also what's so interesting about cultures. And that's also what I like about experiencing different cultures when you live in other countries. You're like, okay, there's so many ways to live life or to work in a certain way. And it's really like picking those things that you like and letting
definitely
go of things that don't work for you. So yeah, I think that's super interesting.
Definitely. And I think that along the way, especially as an expat that moves for work or goes on a professional assignment, you learn so much about yourself, even though if you maybe don't want to, but you definitely take things that are important to you from each and every culture that you have lived in. Definitely.
Yeah, and I think also sometimes you don't even realize that you do certain things until you move somewhere else and you're like, oh, actually people here do this in a different way. And then you realize how you have been doing something and that it's really linked to a culture that you grew up in. And you just thought, oh, I thought this was just like the normal way to do it, so to say. And then you see like, no, there are like 10 or 20 different ways to do this. And it's not that one is better than the other. It's just what you're used to, but also what your personal preference is. So it's a combination of a lot of things.
What is, I'm very curious on the customers that you help adapting to the Dutch culture, because you and I are both Dutch. Mm-hmm. And the Dutch culture is, I don't want to call it an extreme, but it is, if I look at the culture map where we look at 8 different skills that indicate behavior, let's say preferred behavior across the globe, the Dutch are quite extreme. They have quite an extreme location in that framework, meaning that they're perceived more or less in the same way across the globe. As an example, everyone knows the Dutch are relatively straightforward, they're direct, they're to the point, you know, they're very comfortable with negative feedback. And everyone across the globe knows that. But it's probably very different if you're an expat coming from abroad and then all of a sudden you need to operate in the workplace, experiencing that.
True. Like what I notice is that many expats who move here find Dutch people very rude, and that's the directness that you mean, you know,
from and rude is actually the perception of the directness.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so a Dutch person wouldn't see that as rude and just sees it as direct, but then someone else who is maybe not used to that type of communication thinks, okay, this person is very rude, like, you know. And it's not that one type of communication is better than the other, it's just two different ways. And I think it's interesting, if you know that, you can anticipate and you can understand it better. But yeah, if you have no idea about those nuances, then you can feel offended, even though it wasn't even the other person's intention to offend you, right? Maybe the other person has no idea that he or she comes across like that. So it's really about the perceptions.
And I think the beautiful thing about cultural perception is that two different cultures can look at one and the exact same culture and perceive it differently. So, for example, if we look at how comfortable we are across the globe with negative, direct negative feedback. The Dutch are very comfortable with direct negative feedback, both in providing, but also in receiving. So, but for example, there's a culture that is even more comfortable with direct negative feedback, which is Israel.
Okay.
So Israelians will perceive a Dutch as comfortable and potentially even as, well, you know, when a Dutch is providing negative feedback, like, you know, come to the point, just tell me what you want to say. I just, you know, right at you, tell me.
Yeah.
Where someone from Belgium, and then here the Dutch and the Belgians even speak the same language, partly, they perceive the Dutch as extremely direct, rude, very, very, I'm trying to find an appropriate word, but let's say rude, let's stick with rude. Exact same Dutch person, exact same culture, differently perceived as from the Israeli or the Belgian perspective, as an example. And once you, one, know how you are perceived in other cultures, and you know how you will perceive others, you don't need to learn every do's and don'ts about every single culture. You can apply that perception model.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. It's also about knowing yourself, right? And a part of that is also knowing the culture that has formed some of your behavior.
Yes, yes, definitely. Actually, if you have lived in one and the same country until approximately your puberty, then from a neurological point of view, that country is your cultural background. So what, and that is because from puberty onwards, like everything in life, you're gonna go in some sort of a resistance, right? You wanna define your own character and your personality. Yeah. But up till that age, your culture, your cultural background and there where you grew up is fundamentally wired in your brain and makes you you. That doesn't mean that everyone in the Netherlands or in Israel or in the US is the same. Of course, there's personal nuances, but fundamentally, how you grew up, what you learned in school, how you have developed in sports clubs, you know, your role within a team or what you have seen as authority, for example, as a teacher in front of you. In the Netherlands, we learn that a teacher is a facilitator among others. It's not an authority figure.
Yeah.
In a way it is, but it's not an authority figure that, you know, we should respect and we're not allowed to speak. This is different in all cultures across the world. And it definitely shapes us on what we think is good leadership.
Yeah, that's very true. And yeah, that's the rest of your life, you will notice those things in the workplace or in your social life, just how you respond to other people, how other people respond to you.
Definitely. And I loved when you said, you know, it's so much about learning about yourself, because if you start with yourself and you learn about the culture that you come from, but also, for example, through a personal culture map, you know how you can come across towards others, but also how you are perceiving other people, but also people from other cultures. And that can eliminate so much frustration.
Yeah. And that avoids a lot of misunderstanding and confusion as well. It's not only the frustration, but also, yeah, you feel like there's some sort of disconnect, but if you don't know where it comes from exactly, you might think like, am I doing something wrong? And then you try even harder and it has the opposite effect, right?
So most probably, yes.
Yeah. So yes. Yeah, it's super interesting and valuable to know more about your own culture and why you do things the way you do. And if you actually do those things, or if you do it in a different way, that's also interesting to explore.
Yeah, definitely. If someone comes to you and let's say is in the preparation of moving abroad as an expat, whether if that's for work or for love or for the experience, what would be your recommendation?
So what I said before, it really depends on what someone is looking for, like the support they need. So I have programs that are really tailored to someone's journey. So whether it's you're moving with, for example, your partner who found a job abroad and you move with this person and you're like, okay, and what am I actually going to do here? And really creating like a new lifestyle for yourself, or whether you move for a job, whether you have the job already or you're searching for one. You know, there's so many different scenarios. These are just two examples. So it's really figuring out together, first of all, like, okay, what is it that you want to focus on? Like, do you have certain goals? Maybe you're just feeling stuck and you have no idea where to start, right? So then we first look at that together. Once you have that clarity, then it's like, okay, so once you know what you want, like, how are you going to get there? Basically, how are we going to get you from A to B? And then supporting you through that process with all the ups and downs that come with it, really guiding someone through that so that they can eventually go from what I like to say, surviving to thriving abroad.
It sounds so appealing, thriving abroad.
Yeah, because it's like you take this step to move somewhere new and you put all the effort in and then you're there and you feel miserable, then it's like, what's the point, right?
Yeah.
You could have just stayed where you were. So it's really optimizing your experience there and really finding a way to make the most out of it. Also, not just for your work or your career, but also for your well-being and everything that involves your life. And really putting all those categories together so that you can really create that dream life, basically, that you were hoping for when you took the step to move.
It sounds that you're on a very determined mission to help a lot of people, you know, thriving and focusing on their dream life while living abroad. And I think being an expat, and from my personal experiences, lived in Singapore, Japan, South America, you know, expat life comes with so many challenges. And like you said in the beginning, you know, some that you cannot really prepare yourself for. But it's so important to know that you don't need to do it alone.
Exactly.
And that's where I think your work plays a very, very big part. And I think it's beautiful to hear how you have converted, let's say, your personal experience and pain into helping others. And how can people work with you, Veerle?
So the easiest way to connect with me is on Instagram at Unpacked by Veer, or just to go to my website, unpackedbyveer.com, where you can find a lot of information about my programs. And as I said in the beginning, I'm working on a few new things. So
cliffhanger much again. Yeah.
There's definitely a cliffhanger again. I would just say connect with me and then you can stay up to date. Whenever something is coming, you will be the first one to know. So I think I should stick with that cliffhanger. And of course, if anyone listening has any questions for me, just feel free to reach out anyways. Like, you can always send me an email or a DM and we can have a chat. So yeah, that's a really great starting point as well.
I will make sure to link all your contact details, your website and your Instagram in the show notes. I really want to thank you for this conversation, for your honesty and sharing about your great work.
Yes, thank you so much as well.
Thank you, Veerle. I hope to give you a warm welcome to new episodes. And if you have enjoyed listening to my podcast, you would help me a lot by leaving a review or hitting that 5-star button on Spotify. This simply helps for my podcast to be found by others and to spread the awareness on cultural perception. But for now, I'm wishing you a great day, evening, night from wherever or whenever you're listening to this. Ciao!